It now appeared plain and smooth, without mark or device that he could see. The gold looked very fair and pure, and Frodo thought how rich and beautiful was its colour, how perfect was its roundness. It was an admirable thing, and altogether precious. When he took it out, he had intended to fling it from him into the very hottest part of the fire, but he found now that he could not do so, not without a great struggle. He weighed the ring in his hand, hesitating, and forcing himself to remember all that Gandalf had told him. And then, with an effort of will, he made a movement, as if to cast it away, but he found that he had put it back in his pocket. Gandalf laughed grimly. "You see? Already you too, Frodo, cannot easily let it go, nor will to damage it. And I could not make you, except by force, which would break your mind. But as for breaking the ring, force is useless. Even if you took it and struck it with a heavy sledgehammer, it would make no dint in it. It cannot be unmade by your hands or by mine. Your small fire, of course, would not melt even ordinary gold. This ring has already passed through it unscathed, and even unheated. But there is no smith's forge in this shire that could change it at all. Not even the anvils and furnaces of the dwarves could do that. It has been said that dragon fire could melt and consume the rings of power, but there is not now any dragon left on earth in which the old fire is hot enough. Nor was there ever any dragon, not even Ancalagon the Black, who could have harmed the One Ring, the Ruling Ring, for that was made by Sauron himself. There is only one way, to find the cracks of doom in the depths of Orodruin, the Fire Mountain, and cast the ring in there, if you really wish to destroy it, to put it beyond the grasp of the enemy for ever.
I do really wish to destroy it, cried Frodo, or, well, to have it destroyed. I'm not made for perilous quests. I wish I'd never seen the ring. Why did it come to me? Why was I chosen?
Such questions cannot be answered, said Gandalf. You may be sure that it was not for any merit that others do not possess, not for power or wisdom at any rate. But you have been chosen, and you must therefore use such strength and heart and wits as you have.
But I have so little of any of these things. You are wise and powerful. Will you not take the ring?
No, cried Gandalf, springing to his feet. With that power I should have power too great and terrible, and over me the ring would gain a power still greater and more deadly.
His eyes flashed, and his face was lit as by a fire within.
Do not tempt me, for I do not wish to become like the Dark Lord himself. Yet the way of the ring to my heart is by pity, pity for weakness and the desire of strength to do good. Do not tempt me. I dare not take it, not even to keep it safe, unused. The wish to wield it would be too great for my strength. I shall have such need of it. Great perils lie before me.
He went to the window and drew aside the curtains and the shutters. Sunlight streamed back again into the room. Sam passed along the path outside, whistling.
And now, said the wizard, turning back to Frodo, the decision lies with you, but I will always help you.
He laid his hand on Frodo's shoulder.
I will help you bear this burden as long as it is yours to bear, but we must do something soon. The enemy is moving.
There was a long silence. Gandalf sat down again and puffed at his pipe, as if lost in thought. His eyes seemed closed, but under the lids he was watching Frodo intently. Frodo gazed fixedly at the red embers on the hearth until they filled all his vision, and he seemed to be looking down into profound wells of fire. He was thinking of the fabled cracks of doom and the terror of the fiery mountain.
Well, said Gandalf at last, what are you thinking about? Have you decided what to do?
No, answered Frodo, coming back to himself out of darkness, and finding to his surprise that it was not dark, and that out of the window he could see the sunlit garden. Or perhaps, yes, as far as I understand what you have said, I suppose I must keep the ring and guard it, at least for the present, whatever it may do to me.
Whatever it may do, it will be slow, slow to evil, if you keep it with that purpose, said Gandalf.
I hope so,
said Frodo. "But I hope that you may find some other better keeper soon. But in the meanwhile it seems that I am a danger to all that live near me. I cannot keep the ring and stay here. I ought to leave Bag End, leave the Shire, leave everything and go away," he sighed. "I should like to save the Shire, if I could, though there have been times when I thought the inhabitants too stupid and dull for words, and have felt that an earthquake or an invasion of dragons might be good for them. But I don't feel like that now. I feel that as long as the Shire lies behind, safe and comfortable, I shall find wandering more bearable. I shall know that somewhere there is a firm foothold, even if my feet cannot stand there again. Of course, I have sometimes thought of going away, but I imagined that as a kind of holiday, a series of adventures like Bilbo's or better, ending in peace. But this would mean exile, a flight from danger into danger, drawing it after me. And I suppose I must go alone, if I'm to do that and save the Shire. But I feel very small, and very uprooted, and, well, desperate. The enemy is so strong and terrible." He did not tell Gandalf, but as he was speaking, a great desire to follow Bilbo flamed up in his heart. To follow Bilbo, and even perhaps to find him again. It was so strong that it overcame his fear. He could almost have run out there and then down the road without his hat, as Bilbo had done on a similar morning long ago.
"My dear Frodo," exclaimed Gandalf, "hobbits really are amazing creatures, as I've said before. You can learn all that there is to know about their ways in a month, and yet after 100 years they can still surprise you at a pinch. I hardly expected to get such an answer, not even from you. But Bilbo made no mistake in choosing his heir, though he little thought how important it would prove. I'm afraid you are right. The ring will not be able to stay hidden in the Shire much longer, and for your own sake, as well as for others, you will have to go and leave the name of Baggins behind you. That name will not be safe to have, outside the Shire or in the wild. I will give you a travelling name now. When you go, go as Mr. Underhill. But I don't think you need go alone. Not if you know of anyone you can trust, and who would be willing to go by your side, and that you would be willing to take into unknown perils. But if you look for a companion, be careful in choosing, and be careful of what you say, even to your closest friends. The enemy has many spies and many ways of hearing."
Suddenly he stopped, as if listening. Frodo became aware that all was very quiet, inside and outside. Gandalf crept to one side of the window. Then with a dart he sprang to the sill and thrust a long arm out and downwards. There was a squawk, and up came Sam Gamgee's curly head, hauled by one ear.
"Well, well, bless my beard," said Gandalf. "Sam Gamgee, is it? Now what may you be doing?"
"Lord bless you, Mr. Gandalf, sir," said Sam. "Nothing. Leastways, I was just trimming the grass border under the window, if you follow me."
He picked up his shears and exhibited them as evidence.
"I don't," said Gandalf grimly. "It is some time since I last heard the sound of your shears. How long have you been eavesdropping?"
"Eavesdropping, sir? I don't follow you, begging your pardon. There ain't no eaves at Bag End, and that's a fact."
"Don't be a fool. What have you heard, and why did you listen?"
Gandalf's eyes flashed, and his brows stuck out like bristles.
"Mr. Frodo, sir," cried Sam, quaking. "Don't let him hurt me, sir. Don't let him turn me into anything unnatural. My old dad would take on so. I meant no harm, on my honour, sir."
"He won't hurt you," said Frodo, hardly able to keep from laughing, although he was himself startled and rather puzzled. "He knows, as well as I do, that you mean no harm. But just you up and answer his question straight away."
"Well, sir," said Sam, dithering a little, "I heard a deal that I didn't rightly understand about an enemy, and rings, and Mr. Bilbo, sir, and dragons, and a fiery mountain, and
elves, sir. I listened because I couldn't help myself, if you know what I mean. Lord bless me, sir, but I do love tales of that sort. And I believe them, too. Whatever Ted may say, elves, sir, I would dearly love to see them. Couldn't you take me to see elves, sir, when you go?
Suddenly Gandalf laughed. Come inside, he shouted, and putting out both his arms, he lifted the astonished Sam, shears, grass clippings and all, right through the window and stood him on the floor.
Take you to see elves, eh? He said,
eyeing Sam closely, but with a smile flickering on his face.
So you heard that Mr. Frodo is going away?
I did, sir, and that's why I choked. Which you heard, seemingly. I tried not to, sir, but it burst out of me. I was so upset.
It can't be helped, Sam, said Frodo sadly. He had suddenly realized that flying from the Shire would mean more painful partings than merely saying farewell to the familiar comforts of Bag End.
I shall have to go, but...
And here he looked hard at Sam. If you really care about me, you will keep that dead secret, see? If you don't... If you even breathe a word of what you've heard here, then I hope Gandalf will turn you into a spotted toad and fill the garden full of grass snakes.
Sam fell on his knees, trembling.
Get up, Sam, said Gandalf. I've thought of something better than that, something to shut your mouth and punish you properly for listening. You shall go away with Mr. Frodo.
Me, sir?
Cried Sam, springing up like a dog invited for a walk.
Me go and see elves and all? Hooray!
He shouted, and then burst into tears. Chapter 3 Three is Company.
You ought to go quietly, and you ought to go soon, said Gandalf. 2 or 3 weeks had passed, and still Frodo made no sign of getting ready to go.
"'I know, but it's difficult to do both,' he objected. "'If I just vanish like Bilbo, the tale will be all over the Shire in no time.'
"'Of course you mustn't vanish,' said Gandalf. "'That wouldn't do at all. I said soon, not instantly. "'If you can think of any way of slipping out of the Shire without its being generally known, "'it will be worth a little today. But you must not delay too long.'
"'What about the autumn, or after our birthday?' asked Frodo. I think I could probably make some arrangements by then.
To tell the truth, he was very reluctant to start, now that it had come to the point. Bag End seemed a more desirable residence than it had for years, and he wanted to savour as much as he could of his last summer in the Shire. When autumn came, he knew that part at least of his heart would think more kindly of journeying, as it always did at that season. He had indeed privately made up his mind to leave on his 50th birthday. Bilbo's 128th. It seemed somehow the proper day on which to set out and follow him. Following Bilbo was uppermost in his mind, and the one thing that made the thought of leaving bearable. He thought as little as possible about the ring, and where it might lead him in the end, but he did not tell all his thoughts to Gandalf. What the wizard guessed was always difficult to tell. He looked at Frodo and smiled.
"'Very well,' he said. "'I think that will do, but it must not be any later. "'I'm getting very anxious. "'In the meantime, do take care, "'and don't let out any hint of where you're going, "'and see that Sam Gamgee doesn't talk. "'If he does, I really shall turn him into a toad.'
"'As for where I'm going,' said Frodo, "'It would be difficult to give that away, for I have no clear idea myself yet.'
"'Don't be absurd,' said Gandalf. "'I'm not warning you against leaving an address at the post office. "'But you are leaving the Shire, and that should not be known until you're far away. "'And you must go, or at least set out, either north, south, west, or east, "'and the direction should certainly not be known.'
I've been so taken up with the thoughts of leaving Bag End and of saying farewell that I've never even considered the direction, said Frodo. For where am I to go, and by what shall I steer? What's to be my quest?
Bilbo went to find a treasure, there and back again, but I go to lose one and not return as far as I can see.
But you can't see very far,
said Gandalf.
Neither can I. It may be a task to find the cracks of doom, but that quest may be for others. I don't know. At any rate, you're not ready for that long road yet.
No, indeed, said Frodo. But in the meantime, what course am I to take?
Towards danger, but not too rashly, nor too straight, answered the wizard. If you want my advice, make for Rivendell. That journey should not prove too perilous, though the road is less easy than it was, and it will grow worse as the year fails.
Rivendell, said Frodo. Very good. I will go east, and I will make for Rivendell. I'll take Sam to visit the elves. He'll be delighted. He spoke lightly, but his heart was moved suddenly with a desire to see the house of Elrond Half-Elven, and breathe the air of that deep valley where many of the fair folk still dwelt in peace.